Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready, eh? I'm going to nail it this time, eh? Here we go.
Look, 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 look.
Wow, I think I actually kind of hit it, Charge.
Not bad. I mean, in theory, your voice should be completely shot from a week of boozing it up in Cabo or wherever you were. That's pretty impressive.
Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, Cabo, that's not actually
still
near there.
Well, no, right, but it's still aspirational. So anyway, it was a great time. And yes, my voice was trashed, but it has bounced back to what I would say near perfect vibrance and tonality.
Oh,
with the assistance. With the assistance of this high quality RE20 Sennheiser microphone, one of the industry standards, along with the Shure SMB80, as you well know, and the Rodecaster Pro with the onboard preamps and processing. Takes a lot to make a guy sound good, you know?
It takes a lot to get you to sound good. Now, when do I get my invitation to, what do you call it?
Sunburn Bowl?
Yeah, when do I get my invitation?
I would love to have you. We had 3 Bear fans on the trip, and we had a Viking fan as well. So we like to keep our friends close and our enemies even closer. Yes, I would love to include you, but I've got to wrestle back some control of this trip from management.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's certain things that are not being done in the way that I would prefer, and so I've got to put on my diva pants and start making some demands.
Your name's on it. You should be running you should be doing whatever you want with it.
Listen, my name is not on it, but I'm the driving force behind it, and I have all the intellectual property and the awesome logo. You know, a guy made a replica of the trophy out of stainless steel that is awesome. It looks like a real Lombardi trophy, but it's got a red Solo cup on it that you can drink a championship beer out of. Oh, it's really
That's
good.
Fantastic.
For you being a guy that likes to create events and trophies and all the same things that I do, I think you would really, really like this. So I'm going to send you a photo of it. You can take a look.
Now, I had a buddy who got into the trophy, the fantasy trophy business, and he built, they were all made out of wood, and these things were gorgeous until he got the cease and desist from the NFL because his fantasy football trophy looked, in their estimation, a little bit too much like the Lombardi.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
So wait a minute. Did it have a football on a triangular base?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shit. I hope the NFL doesn't come after me for having a red solo cup on a triangular base. One would wonder, how deep does their sort of copyright protection go?
Right. Right.
Or I guess it wouldn't be copyright. It would be, there's different forms of this. There's copyright. There is trademark. Yeah. There is a third category that deals with written works, spoken works, blah, blah, blah.
This would be trademark infringement, because it's something you look at, not the written word. So I think it would be that.
Well, I know this. I remember one time sniffing around about how would I get a replica Lombardi trophy?
Yeah.
And you cannot here in the States, but there was a restaurant. There was a restaurant that had them, and there's also a Packer house across from Lambeau that has three of them up on display, and they're really good looking. I was told by this person you have to order them from overseas. Like, there's a place in Ireland that will make them for you, where they're like just big middle finger to the NFL and their laws and their lawyers, like, fuck you, what are you gonna do?
I love it. At that point, there's probably not much they can do. Now, is this the same Packer house that I was in, that is basically a frat house?
There is the 60-yard line house, which is pretty much the Packer flop house. It's where you go to lay low after a murder for a while.
That's where I was.
Yes, that's
that
where you were.
That had to be where I was.
It had all the smells that you could possibly smell, and you had to really be a guy's guy to love it. The other house is the Endries house, which is what I call Castle Endries. In true Game of Thrones fashion, because it's magnificent. It's three stories. It's right across from the atrium. It's beautiful. It dwarfs the other little humble ranch style homes on that street. And many of the longtime residents there look at the Castle Endries and go, they're like, God damn you guys. So anyway, all right, we got a lot to talk about. We start with cut number one. The field stunk. Literally. Church. So George Toma, the sod father, the sod god, whatever you want to call him, the 93-year-old longtime field maintenance guy for the NFL, came out with what was wrong with the Super Bowl field. He basically threw his underling, the guy that the NFL really gave the control to for this field, I forget his name, he threw him under the sod by saying he fucked it up. He overwatered it. He didn't let it dry, and then he rolled it back inside, and it started to rot and to die. And the sod father said the field stunk, and he's done with the NFL. How about that?
I love it. I love it. Tell it like it is, baby, because he's got nothing to lose. And Save, how does this happen at the Super Bowl of all places? How do you get this wrong? You would think if it's anything like the refs, you know, they only take the best of the refs, the ones that have graded out the best. You would think by the time you get so good at sod that you are the Super Bowl sod, that you can't put together a field that literally stinks. And guys flopping all over the field, right?
Flopping.
Yes.
It was an
embarrassment.
Yeah.
They were all over the place.
Well, okay. So in defense of those who work in the grass field, and I know a good friend and listener, Mike in Madison, Ohio, sells fertilizer now throughout the upper Midwest, used to be a golf course superintendent. It can be tricky. That, in other words, while you may say, well, shouldn't you have the recipe for grass? Yeah, in certain climates, Florida grass is a lot different than, say, Arizona grass. And one little mistake, which was either rolling it in too wet, or they also said that there was a lot of tarps on the field to protect during practice for the halftime act for Rihanna. And so if the tarps are on the field, that further traps moisture. Moisture could lead to mold. Next thing you know, you got a field that is kind of rank.
Stank. We got field stank.
Rank, stank, and out of bank. Okay, I didn't get the third ank there. Okay, I thought I'd lead with that. We now at least know resolution to that. All right, cut number two today. Oh, where is my sound effect? Oh, it came out. Hold on, Church. I got this here. Everybody, don't worry. I'm going to edit this out in post-production. You're not editing shit. You're too lazy. Okay, shut up. Here we go. Cut two. There we go. The combine. Where do you stand, Church, as a football man on the NFL combine and the media's coverage of it?
Well, let me start by saying this. Prior to basically yesterday, I had been at 13 straight combines, something 12, 13, kind of lost track somewhere in there. Yes, I got there. KFAN got on the combine train so early that there was no radio row and there were only four stations there.
Wow.
And the NFL Network. And that was it. And we were right off the field inside Lucas Oil. But over the next decade, the combine blew up, Zane. And now the coverage is massive. It's turned into a whole different beast. There are dozens of stations there, except mine, which for whatever reason this year, our sales staff did not sell it.
What?
Yep, here we are, literally the highest rated sports talk station in the country, KFAN, and we couldn't sell a combine sponsorship.
And you had been there year after year after
year. Yes.
Wow, that is both at once troubling and yet comforting. Since I would say that my station has sales challenges of its own.
Yes. Look, I get it. Radio is not the sexiest sell anymore. I totally get that.
Okay. You guys are number one
in the country.
Right. What are your shows pulling share wise?
Typically between a 9 and 12 share.
That's tremendous. Our little show, and I'm careful to not reveal too much because this Nielsen ratings is very proprietary and get in big trouble if you start spewing out numbers. But I was just talking to my PD today, and my show in Milwaukee is top five behind some pretty established heavyweight shows, and it's in the 6 to 7 share range depending on the demo.
That's very good.
Yeah,
good.
I know, 6 to 7 range in various demos, 25-54, which is the main demo, and then the 18-35, a little bit better. So we're reaching the youngers, which is good. And out of 22 to 25 ranked radio stations, top five. You should be able to make a ham sandwich out of that. You know what I mean? But for you guys, for being number one, your sales staff should be order takers, not even selling. It should be like, how much can we put you down for today?
Exactly. You would think so, right?
Yeah. Right. Because radio works, especially personality-endorsed radio, really works,
It does. It does. And, for all the trouble that other radio stations are having, sports talk is different because people still want to hear you talk about the Bucks game last night, and they just can't get that somewhere else. And that's, it still has a lot of marketability.
Yeah. Well, it also cuts through. So it cuts through the clutter of the way things are. So anyway, so the one thing that I have found to be great about the combine is that it now brings every coach and, more importantly, every general manager to the podium. And while they're very good, these GMs, at saying nothing, at least you get them face-to-face and you can fire questions at them. And that is very valuable. You get more good assets at the combine once football's over than you get at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, where you get a bunch of hucksters and yucksters and retired douchebags pitching their latest product.
Yes, from a pure content standpoint, it's 10 times better radio to be on at the combine than it is to be at Super Bowl Radio Row, because you get the GM, you get the coaches, you get the assistant coaches, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. You get you get Peter King, who's just like wandering around. You're like, "Hey, Peter King, come on over here.
And you talk about the intrigue that's going to be a free agency coming up here in 2 weeks, then the draft. And, all the coaching changes that just happened. It's not football, unfortunately. So again, I liken the long NFL offseason to you in your basement as a kid with the, on a rainy day playing with your little green army men, making sounds like pew, pew, pew. Oh, we're going to attack. Like, we're playing with our green army men right now, waiting until September. It's all we've got, but you get a lot more to chew on. So there is that.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about the combine that's great. Because the season is the better part of 6 months away, you get more honest, straightforward answers at the combine than you get anywhere else. And it's not close. For whatever reason, and I think it's just because the season's so far away, there still hasn't been a draft and free agency and everything else. You get, you know, we get actual truths that you never get any other time. And I love that part of it as well. Everybody's guard is down. You know, everybody's still drunk from last night. It's a big drinking event, too, by the way, for all these coaches and scouts and stuff.
A lot of very expensive dinners at St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Which, while excellent, is no Manny's.
It's not close. it's not even close. It's not. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah. It's just okay.
Yeah. All right. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Cut three.
Yes.
Jalen Carter, misdemeanor charges on reckless driving and racing that led to the deaths of a recruiting coordinator at Georgia, and I believe a teammate or a recruit. Very, very bad timing because Jalen Carter is an absolute stud who might still go 1/1. Question, do you think the timing of this announcement was in any way suspicious or wrong by the DA in Georgia?
I don't. I think the timing just is what it is. And I don't think that they cared about the fact that it was the combine.
Right.
You know, there is, you know, all the media is assembled. I guess, you know, you can make that case. What'll be fascinating. Here's the funny thing. Here's the fan bases now are all like, oh, good. I'm glad this happened because now maybe he'll drop to 16 and we can take it. You know, like, they're all like, they don't care that he might have helped kill a guy or two. But the good thing is now, as a potential murderer, he could drop to our team.
Okay. Well, whoa. He's not a murderer. He's only facing a misdemeanor charge. I am of this mindset on this. I heard someone say today, oh, why'd they release this now? And like, as if there is an ulterior motive. Like, gotcha. I think they did it now because this has been on their radar down there for a while. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, before this young man who may, if he's guilty, have committed a huge mistake, but one that is only a misdemeanor, before he gets too deep into talking about all this football stuff and his plans and who he is and everything else. We need to get this out first. I'm not saying they did him a favor per se, but they realized we won't be doing him a favor if we wait any further. You know, it had to come now. I don't know the guy from the details of this incident. Police say that the two cars were weaving in and out of traffic, traveling in the incoming lane at a rate of speed over 100 miles an hour. Stop there.
100 miles an hour in the opposite lane.
Right. And even worse, the recruiting coordinator who died in the one car had a blood alcohol of 0.19. Quite drunk. So it was a horrible thing. That said, I don't think I wouldn't be dissuaded from drafting this kid 1-1. I would say, look, he's made a huge life mistake and he is going to live with it and I'm sure regret it for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But legally speaking, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is pretty far down there if you ask me. This is a fuck up of youth that he is going to have to live with the rest of his life. But I would not hesitate to still take him high. I don't think he should drop for this.
Do you? I don't know enough about what his level of involvement is, so I don't.
He was in the other car racing him.
Yeah,
it's enough of involvement.
I did dumb stuff. Not like that. Not 100 miles an hour in the opposite lane of traffic, and you literally could kill somebody.
Yes, that's what you do when you're young. You do dumb shit. I drove way too drunk for a short spurt, a couple of times in high school. Mm-hmm. And whenever I think about those two times I did it, and it's usually the two times where I'll be in my parents' old neighborhood, you know, in McLean, Virginia, and I'll be driving down around and be like, oh, yeah, there was that night. Every time I think about it, it gives me kind of chills because I think now, you fucking moron, what were you thinking? And the answer is I wasn't. I was 16, 17, 18, and I was like, no one's going to catch me. Luckily they didn't.
I have one of those. I had to drive a long way. I had to drive from the other side of St. Paul, through St. Paul, all the way through Minneapolis, all the way to the western suburbs, drop off three other drunk kids at their house, and then get myself home. And I don't know how I lived through it. Interesting, this came up. I did a post on Twitter yesterday about, or 2 days ago, asking people, when have you had a legitimate near-death experience? And I got hundreds of responses. I would say 80% of them were in a car.
How many have you had?
One for sure. All right. So it's in a car. This is my buddy Matt Lyon is a terrible driver and knew it, but he's the guy driving this car. And we went across went across a stretch of almost a near highway, like a not interstate highway, but literally, I don't know. It's four lanes, like two each direction. And shortly thereafter, they put up lights in this spot, but they didn't have lights then. Anyway, he's looking left and he decides to cross all four lanes of traffic to go straight. As we get across the third lane, heading into the fourth lane of traffic, a car whistles in front of us by inches going 60 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
And inches. And I'm in the passenger seat, Zabe. This car's coming from right to left. Had he started a quarter second earlier, that car would have gone straight into my body and it had been game over for sure at 60 miles an hour. That would have been it for me.
Do you think about that?
A lot. We pulled over and prayed.
Wow.
Yes.
And you aren't that religious, as I get.
No, I am not religious, and I wasn't then either, but that is by the grace of God I am here today moment right there.
I think I had three near brushes with death. One was in college. I was riding my bike and on campus almost rode out right in front of a car that was driving at a decent rate of speed. Although in retrospect, honestly, I probably would have been fucked up, but I would have lived, I guess. Would have flipped over the top of the car. I would have been all jacked up. There was that one. I also went scuba diving without really being qualified to do this off the coast of Hawaii with a buddy and his very skilled scuba dive buddy into a wave zone up against these hard rocks near the blowhole on Oahu on the north side, in which we couldn't even see for the first 30 feet down because there was that much churn. There was that many bubbles
because
of all that. Yeah. And he was just like, stay close to me and then meet me at the bottom. Then we'll go around the rocks and whatever. My buoyancy vest wasn't working right. I had just barely been certified. Like, I should not have been doing a shore entry off of lava rocks into 30-foot waves. It's fucking nuts.
So you were certified, but you were – this is like your first or second time out, something like that.
Yeah, and so my buddy's buddy, he didn't know me. He didn't give two shits. He's like, yeah, tell your pal to stick close. That was dumb.
Yeah.
And then the third time was I saved a kid from drowning off the coast of the Outer Banks. When I was a high school, just graduated from high school, and it was very stormy that day. Red flags were out on the beach, and we get to the beach, me and my buddies, Todd Davenport, Andy Lee, and Hojin Kim, and this mom is hysterical. My boy is out there. Oh, my God. Help somebody, whatever. So all three of us run out there like young, dumb idiots, fighting our way through huge waves. I'm swimming as hard as I can, I happen to be in the best shape of my life as an 18-year-old, believe it or not. And at one point, I turn around. I'd broken through the first, you know, set of waves, and I look behind me. My buddies had fucking tapped out. It was just me.
What do you mean? They gave up.
They gave up. They didn't make it. So I'm now past the breakers, and I'm out there on these high seas, and I see this head bobbing up and down. And I get out there, and I'm like, you all right? And he was like, help. Like, he could barely see, and he was waving his arms and whatnot. So I was able to get my hand under his armpit, and I started pushing him back. Now, I was very lucky in retrospect. They say when people are drowning like that, they'll just grab
They'll take you down with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I'm pushing him back, and it was quite the effort. And then finally I got the kid to where the wave started to break. So I got him pushed into a big wave that really carried him in close to the shore.
Wow.
And at that point, now I've got to get through the breakers on the way back. And it was starting to be a struggle because with every wave, the back toe would pull you back pretty hard.
Right, right.
And so it was quite a struggle. But at that point, the beach patrol had shown up. And I ended up being rescued for the last, I don't know, 50 feet or so by two dreamy lifeguards like from Baywatch. and I was like no worse for the wear, and I didn't quite think that much of it until the beach patrol looked me in the eye and said, you're really fucking lucky. You should not have done that. I was like, wow. And the mom was just hysterical and delirious and happy. The kid was barfing up white foam.
Because he had drank
seawater.
So much. You do barf that up.
And you know what? Didn't get a fucking write-up in the paper. Didn't get a medal of commendation. Didn't get shit.
Nothing. Now, isn't the kid supposed to... Now, we all know the kid's supposed to stay in touch
with me the rest of his life.
Right, exactly. He owes you the rest of his life. We know how the rules of this work. How did he? You got gypped, dude.
Well,
in an age
of no cell phones or cameras, it was just what it was. What was I going to do? Well, ma'am, I saved your son. I'm going to give you my phone number here. I couldn't even give her an email. It was 1986. Here's my. I don't even have a phone number, Charge. Right. I'd be like, here's my parents' phone number where I live. No. I'm 18.
Yeah, that's right. You couldn't have given your Prodigy account back then. That was it's a long time ago. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to make this prediction. It's going to be about 13 years from now.
Oh shit.
And you're going to get a certified 68. Letter from some lawyer you don't know. And this guy has been secretly squirreling away funds or bullion or something for you. And when he dies, he's going to pass it on to you as a final act of thanks.
Well, wouldn't that be grand? Or the lawyer will hear of this podcast, put together the pieces of the dates and the times and the location, and then sue me because the kid has brain damage and I didn't save him fast enough.
That's how it would go today. Now, do you know this kid's name, by the way?
Don't know his name.
Did you know it then?
No, because once they got them on the beach and got all the white foam out of them, and once I was rescued by the two dreamy Baywatch guys, it was sort of like he was whisked away because they had to go get him medical attention.
And, oh, I bet. And that was it.
Yeah. And then me and my buddies, Todd and Ho-Jin and Stefan Giannopoulos were like, well, let's go have a beer. We're here on the beach. You can't swim. Go back to the house. Have a beer.
At 18, by the way.
Exactly. All right. Cut number four. Aaron Rodgers comes out of the dark. And Lamar Jackson is in the dark as to what the Ravens are going to do with him and his contract situation. First on Aaron Rodgers, what does the Viking fan in you think right now?
I hope or think. I mean, how do I want this to play out?
I want a think and a hope from you.
I think he's going to stay, and I hope he stays because I don't think he's that good anymore. And I, you can have him at this stage of his career.
We don't fear him at this point.
I mean, he's been a 500 quarterback against the Vikings for like four seasons now, and he does not worry me both as a regular season threat, as a playoff threat. And, you know, we've seen him at his best, and this ain't it. So okay. I say keep him.
All right. What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to stay.
Okay.
But, you know, this thing's so weird.
It is weird. I think we're headed towards the Favre situation all over again, where he says, okay, I'm back to play again. And the team is like, yeah, you know, we're really looking to exit this contract now. And we're really looking to get Jordan Love in there now. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be this awkward dance of who's zooming who. Who's saying that, you know, and Rodgers is going to play the victim. Well, they didn't want me, so I guess they think I stink. So I don't know. I guess they can trade me somewhere. And then the Packers are going to go, well, that's not exactly it. You got to understand. Da-da-da-da. And it's going to be awkward, I think. That's what now, I think is going
to
happen.
Does he have any leverage in which team he goes to? Does he have like a no trade? He does.
Well, his leverage is he could always retire.
Yeah, that's not great leverage. When your leverage is I'm going to walk away from $60 million, it's not great leverage.
It's the leverage with any new team. You know what I mean? So if the Packers say we got an offer from the Commanders for
that's
five number ones, you're going there?
Yeah.
He can say, like, no, the fuck I am.
Right. Right. I'll hang it up for I'll play for the Commanders. Right.
Right. So there's that. I think it's going to get awkward. We'll see about that. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, I want you to weigh in on what's going on there and what you would do if you were the Ravens.
Yep. I've thought about this a lot and actually had a conversation with longtime Viking general manager Rick Spielman about it.
Nice.
And Spielman raised a good point, which is the biggest problem of him being his own agent is less about the deal and more about how you have to negotiate straight to the guy's face, telling him why he's not worth this much money. You have to tell him all the defects in his game, all the things that, you know, all the stuff that you never want to say straight to a player's face.
Right.
That the agent helps smooth out that relationship, right? Doesn't pass on all of the bad things you have to say about the player that you have to say in these situations. And at the end of the day, if he's going to be so stubborn that he wants the Deshaun Watson deal, the fully guaranteed third of a $1 billion kind of deal, he's just not worth it. He's just not that. I mean, that's, you know, you have to be Patrick Mahomes. You should have to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
You know, somehow Deshaun Watson got that deal and now everybody's got to live up to that. But he's just not worth it.
The thing that cuts against Lamar Jackson is that I think he's better than Watson. I've never been a huge Watson fan. I think he's good. I think he's a bit overrated, though, to be sure. But the thing that works against Jackson is that two other guys signed quarterbacks after Deshaun that didn't get the fully guaranteed McGilla. One was Kyler Murray, and I forget the other guy, but there's two other precedents to pretty much highlight. Yeah, Jimmy Haslam's a desperate fucking idiot, and he did this because he had to get you. So this is not a deal that's offered to everybody else. And worse than having no agent, I've heard that Lamar Jackson's mom is his de facto agent. Imagine being a GM having to tell the player's mom how much he's not that good. Holy shit.
That's horrible.
Yes.
He's not. No, he's
Okay.
All that aside,
you're a team that doesn't have a quarterback. What would you give up to get Lamar Jackson?
Zabe,
a 1-3, a 1-2, 2-1.
18 teams have quarterback tumult. 18 of them. So because there's so much need out there, somebody's going to pay a couple of first rounders plus change for the right to overpay Lamar Jackson and hope he stays healthy for the first time in several seasons.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if I, you know, you could hazard landing spots and, you know, it probably doesn't make a ton of sense to do that, but it's okay. Coming for sure.
Right.
And by the way, if I had to pick a spot, Tampa Bay. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. There.
Okay. Cut five. Okay. Whiskey weekend. Charge. How was it? What Roman numeral whiskey weekend was this?
15.
All right. So who was the winner? What whiskey was the winner? Not who, because the whiskey wins, not the person who brings it. Although, is there a bonus for the guy who brings the winning whiskey?
There is no bonus, but there is a lot of bragging rights. So people do care. They genuinely care about getting
a trophy
first.
Speaking of trophies, you need a trophy for Whiskey Weekend.
I do need a trophy.
So that the person who brings the whiskey that wins the blind taste testing over 3 days, right? Three?
Yes. Yep,
that,
3 days.
Yeah,
yep.
That they win the trophy, and then everyone says, wow, that's a good bottle of whiskey. So what won?
First of all, I'm a little irritated with my guys because they've decided that they can't bring anything anybody knows anymore because they brought a lot of bottles, but they're not really whiskey connoisseurs. So here's what happens is they see, Elijah Craig came once. So then they don't bring any of the variations on Elijah Craig. They're all like, somebody already brought it. So they don't bring the bottled and bond or the small batch or the single barrel, you know, or anything like that.
Wow.
So now they've taken to some just weird ass shit that nobody knows. Like our winner, Balcones from Waco, Texas. What the fuck is that? Nobody knows. Right. I mean, the distilling powerhouse town of Waco. I brought a good bottle and I'm pretty pissed that it finished fifth.
What was your bottle?
I brought Colonel E.H. Taylor.
Ooh.
Oh, virtually impossible to find. Delicious. I voted for it. I wanted it to win and it got turned upside down by these guys. And I'm very bitter.
That's no good. I don't care. I've had a couple of Texas whiskeys. I don't care for them. The ones that I've had have been rather smoky. So they sort of veer into the near Scotch territory. I think you biased me against Scotch because of your hatred for it. Like, you know, unlike Ron Scotch, Burgundy. Scotchy in my belly.
Scotch tastes too much like feet.
Dirt and moss and bark and feet.
It's like licking a hippie's foot.
Well, how would you even know that?
Well, I can assume because I see hippies. In my mind, they're
looking at a hippie's feet, and I taste it going, okay. All right, that brings us then to this cut six, which is if you do want an outstanding barrel, outstanding bottle of bourbon that is picked straight from the barrel by yours truly and a bunch of other whiskey aficionado knuckleheads, then join us for the Bourbon and Brackets event at Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin, Wisconsin, on Monday, March 13th, the day after Selection Sunday. Maddie has become a huge bourbon guy, and he got a hold of a barrel pick from Woodford Reserve. And we sampled it and we tasted it. And for those that don't know, barrel picks are the best of the best of the single barrels in a rick house with a distiller. And not very many people get to do the tasting to get one of these barrels. You have to buy the whole thing, which is a lot of money. And then they bottle it up for you. They put a label on it. You can get one of these bottles by coming by on Monday, March 13th. I'll be there from 5:30 to 7:30. Hang out, talk brackets. We're going to have a chance to win one of these bottles. We can buy it. It's a $60 bottle. So it's not going to break the bank, but it's very, very good. And you can get it online as well, but going to maddiesbar.com and looking for the events tab. I wish you could be there, Charge, but maybe a future one.
I would like to do that this sometime. Summer. This is my kind of event right there.
It is
that
your kind great. Of event, so there's that. All right, final cut today, and then we're done. Dive bars.
Yes.
What constitutes a dive bar?
So I decided I want to spend this. I'm going out with friends this weekend. We decided, you know, where are we going to go? And it struck me that as we've gotten older, and we've had a little more means, Yes. That we don't go to dive bars anymore. We go to upscale suburban eateries and things like that. So I'm like, hey guys, let's go to a dive bar. And then it turned into, well, which dive bar? Where are we going? What are we doing? And I realized I don't even know that many great dive bars. So, you know, what constitutes a dive bar? For me, it starts here. $3 beer is the most you should have to pay, or you should be able to buy a beer for $3. That is one of my key considerations for what is or is not a dive bar. Do you agree with a $3 tap beer? Happy hour, regular price.
Right. I haven't bought a tap beer from a dive bar in forever, so I don't know if that is economically feasible. And if you use that as a criteria, you're going to have to allow it to float upwards as the years go on, because nothing stays the same. But
That sounds about right.
Now, the funny thing is, I have some experts on this, because John Kuhn, Packer fullback, has a segment once a week called their Dive Bar Review. And either he or his producer Armin or Butchie will go out and they will review a dive bar in the area, and they review it on a number of criteria. I don't know if they have benchmarks for what qualifies or not, but they probably have some parameters.
I think if
there is not an old sort of interior lit plastic sign on the outside that is sponsored by a beer of some sort,
yes, you're out.
It's not a dive bar. If it has more than two windows, one on the door and one window on the side of the bar, not a dive bar. If it doesn't have a snack machine as part of its food service right there in the middle of the bar, it's also not a dive bar.
I like it. How about this? Cash only.
Oh,
yep. Cash only. Cause they don't want to pay the credit card charges because they're charging $2.95 for beer.
Yeah, I guess so. So have you found one in the Minneapolis area you're going to go to?
Well, I asked Twitter, help me find the best dive bars in the Twin Cities. I got 425 responses that I'm trying to work my way through. I think I found the winner. But, you know, there's a lot of people who seem to think that if you've got a $13 hamburger on your menu, you're not a dive bar.
No.
Not a dive bar.
Not at all.
Can't. That does not count.
All right. Will you be drinking beer there?
I will, which I don't drink a lot of beer. I like whiskey, but I will drink beer at the dive bar.
All right. Coin-operated pool table. Must.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
Dartboard with real pointy darts. Must.
Oh, that's good, too. Yes.
A television that is still a tube TV standard definition. A old battle axe bartender named Marge.
Yes, I love it.
Bars right there. All right, Church, as always, a pleasure,
best, my friend.
Take care. We'll talk to you next time.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
Well, except for him, I'm a band.
Oh, how can you do that? Making me look bad. You're such a hose hand.
Yeah, well, take off.
You know football and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.